So do you remember the old Far Side comic strip? Probably, I'm sure some of you do. It appeared in newspapers and typically played with the language and life situations in humorous and often surreal ways. And one of my favorite ones from that strip depicted an old man with a white beard wearing a robe in front of an audience of angels. And the four frames of the comic show the man juggling, dancing with a top hat and cane, playing two saxophones at once, and being shot out of a cannon. And the scenes are simply labeled as the acts of God. Now, the comic is kind of silly, but it also holds up a kind of mirror to our beliefs about God. Now, of course, some people still imagine God to be that old man in the sky. And personifying God makes an easy image to relate to, but it can never capture the true nature of the divine. We really don't have any single image or words that can do that. God is so much more than what we can truly grasp. And when we limit our understanding of God to that old guy with a beard dressed in robes, I think it can lead to the second thing that I see in the mirror of that comic, which is the idea that God is there to perform for us. It's easy enough to fall into that way of thinking. We need something, and so we pray. And then we sit back and wait for it to happen. And indeed, last week I talked about Advent as a time of waiting, time of being alert and aware of God's love birthed into the world around us and through us. But that doesn't mean that all we should do is sit back and wait. We're not passive participants in the world. In the Apostle Paul's metaphor, we are the body of Christ. We are the arms, the legs, the eyes, the ears, and the mouth of God's love in the world. And our scriptures on this second Sunday of Advent remind us that even in periods of waiting, we don't just sit back and do nothing. God asks us to prepare the way for God's love. This is an active waiting. In a chaotic world that so often feels like it's on the brink of falling apart, it's certainly tempting to just wait for God to solve all of our problems because we get overwhelmed. Think of the Israelites to whom Isaiah speaks in today's Hebrew Bible reading. They're returning from exile. I'm sure they were nervous and afraid. It might have felt easier to stay in the life they knew rather than return and rebuild Israel. I imagine they must have been thinking things like, we failed once. Why is it going to be any different this time? It must have been tempting to run and hide from the challenges that lay in front of them, to sit back and hope God would somehow take care of things. Now, God tells Isaiah to comfort the people, to let them know that their time of suffering is at an end. But to comfort the people is more than just words of sympathy. The Hebrew word that we translate as comfort has the implication of reversing one's state of mind. So God is asking Isaiah to change their hearts and minds, to take them from fear to hope, from sorrow to joy, from shame to self-love, from insecurity to the assurance of divine care. The people are asked to clear a path for God, to get ready for something new to be birthed. When we make room for God in our hearts and minds, that is when we move from anguish to comfort, and our lives begin to reflect the glory of God's love to the world. A love that Isaiah says will never wilt like the flowers or the grass, but will stand forever with us. When we come to know the assurance of God's care for us, that God will always be with us, giving us strength and courage, then we will find a kind of inner peace and truly become God's body, the body of Christ, speaking and acting in the world for justice, giving hope to the people, creating peace in the external world. But before that happens, we need to open a pathway for God in our lives. And Advent is a ritualized season of waiting, learning to be aware and alert to God's love in our lives. But we also have many other seasons of waiting. Just as Jesus often went by himself to pray, we need periodic times of renewal, times to step back away from the busyness of life, to tune ourselves in again to God's presence. And those times of stepping back, of waiting and renewing, are not times of doing nothing. They're times of path clearing and active waiting. We might spend some of the time reflecting on where God is calling for transformation in our lives and in our communities. If this is ultimately about rebirth, then what is it that we are meant to give birth to? Do we need to foster new or closer relationships? Do we need a new perspective on how we're living, how we're acting and speaking? As we clear a path for God's love in our hearts and minds, what is love bubbling up within us? Where is it trying to lead us? And I think these are great questions for times of discernment, times of active waiting. But we also have to do that path-clearing work so that we might hear God's answers to those questions. Path-clearing was also the work of John the Baptist. Now, it's interesting that the Gospel of Mark has no story about the birth of Jesus. Mark just kind of gets right to business. There's a little urgency to his gospel. There's no time to waste. The preparation starts right now, allowing Jesus, God's love incarnate, to get to work in the world. And it begins with John clearing a path by offering a baptism of repentance. And what does repent mean? It means to change one's heart, to turn to God. It sounds a lot like Isaiah being told to comfort the people, to change their hearts. For me, baptism is committing one's life to the way of God's love. It's a first step in a lifelong journey. It's joining the body of Christ, the community, the kingdom of God. It's about opening one's heart and mind to transformation and rebirth. Now, the scripture says John's baptism was for repentance, for forgiveness of one's sins, which makes it clear that it was a path-clearing act. What are sins but the things in our lives, the thoughts, the actions, the speech that drive a wedge between us and the divine presence? That word sin is a shorthand for all of the things that we do when we're running away from God, putting up walls and other obstacles so we don't have to hear what God is telling us. John's baptism begins the process of opening the road between us and God. It begins dismantling those walls and those obstacles. It brings forgiveness and draws us closer to the divine intention. And of course, baptism is not a get into heaven free card. The people weren't coming to John worried about an afterlife. They were looking for a better right now life. And the changes they sought began, we're told, with a confession of sin. I talked a little bit about confession last week. Confession is preparation for change, for rebirth and transformation. Confession is about naming where we fall short, the obstacles that prevent our growth, where we need healing. Once these things are named, we can begin to clear their clutter away to make room for spiritual rebirth, for the inbreaking of God's love. If we can identify and acknowledge what holds us back, then we can seek forgiveness from those that we have hurt. We can recommit to acting and speaking in more loving ways. We can learn from our mistakes and grow and heal. What are some other ways that we can work on clearing this path, on opening our hearts and minds to God? Well, one resource I found lists several ideas for finding inner peace, which seems to me to be just another way to talk about clearing the path for the divine to work in our lives. For example, some of the suggestions are meditation. This is literally about clearing one's mind of our fears and our worries. And then live in the present. In other words, be alert and aware of life around you, not letting the baggage of the past or fear for the future weigh you down. Cultivate a positive mindset. Nurture what brings you hope and joy and helps you see good in the world. And develop love for yourself. Learn to appreciate your unique self. When we love and have confidence in ourselves, caring for ourselves, we can better love and care for others. Access nature. That connection to God and sense of awe and appreciation we feel in nature helps us to worry a little bit less about our personal problems, opening us to something bigger. And be grateful. This too helps us worry less and opens us to connections with other people. So you get the idea, clearing the path and opening our hearts and minds is akin to seeking that sense of inner peace, a continual sense of God's presence in our lives, knowing that God always walks with us and guides us. Advent is a season of waiting, but it's an active waiting, a season of preparing the way, making room for God's love to give birth to something new. So what do we need to clear away at this time in our life? And once we have opened our hearts and minds, John says something powerful happens. Christ arrives. God's love incarnate is born in us and through us into the world. And in the birth of Christ within us, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. The waiting is done and the passionate work of loving and caring for the world begins. Preparing the way within our own hearts is the first step, but then the Holy Spirit comes and we're asked to prepare the way for God's love in the world, to make a path for God to act in and through others as well as ourselves. As Isaiah says, to shout with a loud voice and bring the good news of God's love to all who will listen. To live as the manifestations of love in the world as Christ did, teaching and healing, bringing hope, creating justice, giving birth to something new and wonderful in the name of God's love. May it be so. Amen.